I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by...
When one is able to repeatedly step into the purity and heart and space of genuine and heightened awareness, miracles manifest, conscious evolution becomes inevitable, and the revelations to one's spirit becomes revolutionary within the simplicity of its own essence. Awakening then becomes of it to where the destination of such a path, when one has answered to the calling, unfolds to reveal the ripening of one's universal truths. The book of positive light, remembrance of the heart.
And so hello, and good evening everyone, good evening world, and welcome back to Quantum Mindfulness Radio. And I am your host, Jowo Ayala Ayapana, registered nurse, and author of my new book, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart. And I thank you for joining me here on the BBS Radio Network. And just as a reminder for all whom have been called, and for those who are resonating towards the energies of the Great Serpent Mound in Adams County, Ohio, I was asked to speak there for a workshop about the significance of this amazing indigenous Native American site, and Quantum Mindfulness Radio will be broadcasting there live during the Summer Solstice Festival between Friday, June 20th and Sunday, June 22nd, to promote my new book again, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart. If should you possess any questions concerning the details of this wonderful event, please log on to the Great Serpent Mound's official online website at www.serpentmound.org. Again, that is www.serpentmound.org. And for the book purchases, for the Book of Positive Light, please log on to my official online website at www.thebookofpositivelight.com. Again, that is www.thebookofpositivelight.com. And so, with tonight's topic of discussion, I would like to dedicate this show to my beautiful, intuitive, charming, and witty, wonderful wife, whom is also the co-editor of my book, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart, Tiffany Renee Ayapana. Tiffany, Tiff, my dear sweetheart, I love you with all of my heart, for with you, you bring out the goodness within me. You bring life to all of my creations. You are my miracle, my angel. I thank you dearly for being here within my life. And I would also love to dedicate the show to all of the mothers whom have done more than enough to balancing the life and the lives of the many people they have influenced and cared for spiritually, emotionally, passionately, and kindly from all around them. To my wife once more, my dear sweet wife, Tiffany. Happy Mother's Day to you, baby. I love you with all of my heart. And to my mother herself, Adele Ayala Ayapana, my dear grandmother, Gracia Ayala, my mother-in-law, Andrea Rufus, and to Tiffany's grandmother, Beverly Grubbs, happy Mother's Day to you all. I love you dearly. I thank you for all of what you have done for me and my dear wife, spiritually, emotionally, passionately, and kindly. I love you all. I would also like to acknowledge and bless the union of my dear brother, Jason Ayapana, and to that of my dear sister-in-law, Miranda Rocky, as they shall be wedded in matrimony and in spirit this week on May 15th, 2014, in beautiful St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, many weeks ago, I was graciously asked by my dear brother and sister-in-law to officiating their wedding ceremony, and I humbly and honorably accepted their invitation to doing so. My dear brother and sister, I am delighted and I am so honored to sharing this beautiful and magical moment with the both of you, with family, and in friends, and in those within spirit. And I would also like to make mention, it is not only the unification, the union of their love, it is the union of family, as within them, their children, within Braden, Ethan, and Dominic, within the presence of our being, as they themselves are the example and for which they themselves exude the sweetness of life. My dear brother and sister, I am delighted and am so honored, and I congratulate the both of you. Now, the significance of this day, May 15th, 2014, breaks down to the heightened vibrations and frequencies of the number 9, according to numerology, which represents the humanitarian, as the both of them are by profession registered nurses. They were born to be within our service, within the service of humanity. This day is further symbolic of attainment, perfection, and of completion. The seeds for new beginnings, the foundation for future growth, and the next of most higher cycles of being. And this is exactly what the topic and subject matter of discussion is going to be held for tonight's show. It represents the newest of beginnings. And so the topic of the show, as guided by spirit, and as it falls precisely and synchronistically on the blessed day of the Mother, Mother's Day, is a subject matter least understood within the superficiality of things, of its content, when compared to generalized Western societal constructs, but more or less mentioned quite frequently, but seemingly unrelated to each other, when we speak of the power and significance of the feminine nature of things, such as Mother Earth, Mother Gaia, Mother's Day, Mary Mother of God, Mother Sekhmet, Isis, the menstrual cycle, Shiva, Mary Magdalene, the nursing process, the goddess, Easter, Ishtar, the womb, and of fertility itself, creation, recycling, renewal, manifestation, the divine feminine. And there are so many more of the thousands of the other feminine made prototypes or examples of such a creative force made known to nature and bringing about the power and significance of its existence. And how does this all fit within, once more, the nature and intrigue of quantum physics? Now, if one should check into the latest discoveries of quantum theory, one should possibly find that there is a new theory. There is a more enhanced and updated theoretical construct, and that is quantum superstring theory, which seems to draw significant attention to itself, which is the study of what lies at the most basic physical level of reality. Now, from this theory alone, from quantum discoveries of the most recent past, it turns out that we do not find inanimate objects or particles or dead building blocks of matter, nor to that of anything, for that matter, in manifesting itself to being solid or potentially real. The secret was never within the atom in itself. Rather, the smallest elements are described as being a vibrating field of light, of energy waves, of significant potentiality, photonic in nature, of which molds and shapes into form accordingly to the makings of our own intentions, our perceptions, our interpretation of what is actually being observed. Now, the idea is that all of the subatomic particles that we do know of or have defined itself to that of being are just made to exist at a differing level of harmonics, emanating from this tour de force of quantum string. This is so very hopeful to know that the very fabric of reality is alive within that of light and of vibration, and not once more within that of matter alone, the atom. In actuality, the atom is mostly negative space, and from this, 0 point comes into being and into that of main focus once more. To me personally, the loops of string and the quantum field possesses life-creating properties. The likeliness of creation becomes even the more evident once the slate is wiped clean of itself, seemingly so in parallel to the female cycle of menstruation, the recycling and renewal thereof. We are essentially attracting more of the making of more room to the infinite possibilities and potentialities of manifestation, of creation, of the most defined of feminine energies. And of course, feminine energy possesses truly nothing at all, and nothingness in the 0 point of things, according to quantum theory. But in continuing further, this energy becomes everything when it wiggles and twists into form and into its shape, the number 8, which is symbolic within itself of infinite life, of infinity. It significantly has a much closer relationship to the many interrelated discoveries of quantum 0 point once more within this known and advancing field of science. Now, in other cultures, and in other spiritualities, when we speak of this most powerful of transitory fields of divine feminine energy, we can often focus rather easily within this connection to ancient Hindu texts, to the Vedic tradition. And I must emphasize that truly that from amongst the most ancient and most traditionally held spiritualities on the face of the planet are those derived from exactly that, the Hindu Vedic text in Sanskrit. And in the presence of the Vedic traditions, there is a triad of gods or trinity of things known as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, whom represent the three highest manifestations of the one reality. Yet above and beyond these three exists the Mahadevi, the great goddess or Shakti of all, again, a feminine energy, and in which Shakti symbolizes primal power, also known as the Adi, or the Parashakti, or Aditi. She is the power underlying temporal reality, the aforementioned Mula Prakriti, that aspect of the absolute which underlines all the objective aspects of nature. She is the absolute source of reality in itself, and in therefore the primal power. Again, one of her emanations in the formless Aditi is this. The Aditi is a sky goddess and mother of the gods, Devamatri, from those of whom which possess the cosmic matrix, the heavenly bodies of which were born. As celestial mother of every existing form and being, the synthesis of all things, Aditi is associated with space and with mystic speech. She may be seen as a feminized form of Brahma, again once more, of feminine energy, and associated with the primal substance Mula Prakriti in Vedanta. It is stated that Mula Prakriti is the source from which the divine goddess or goddesses have emanated from in the form of Lakshmi, Saraswati, Savitri, and Radha. In the Hindu world, this is referred to as Shaktism and is one of the major paths of spiritual practice. Shaktism is the belief that the Shakti force is ultimate. It is the ultimate creator, once more, of a feminine energy. The other portion of what is the essence of what God is. The other form, the duality of things, of what the all and knowing creator is derived from. Sanskrit words and Vedic Hindu concepts describe both spiritual ideas and of scientific concepts quite efficiently, which ties in well when speaking about the power of the feminine, the most divine of feminine of energies. Proof of this is that it often takes many English words to describing a single Sanskrit word in Vedic tradition. Modern science has spawned the archaic revival, this revival of things, of this ancient wisdom, as it is revealing significantly of what the ancients once knew. Now, again, India holds great and ancient knowledge, and it still does so, even from the changing of times of this new age, from one age to the very next, from where the last great shift of the Kundalini had shifted many thousands of years ago, and once again from where the Kundalini sits after its transition, is where the most holy of holy and spiritual movements comes to manifest in itself and into being. As what I had made mention of from two shows ago, the Kundalini energy once was situated within the Himalayas, but now within the present moment, it had shifted once more, just recently within the past many years, into the Andean mountain peaks. Oddly enough, more and more ancient of spiritual texts, additionally in other traditions, seems to come closer to what we are discovering about the cosmology of this so-called manifest feminine creation. Now, when we review the ancient secrets and truths of things, some major and significant themes of which may seem so simple, yet explain so much, begins to emerge as our spirits become more attracted to what it has always meant to be. And the universe responds back in turn in offering the truths of what we were meant to know and wisdom. Whether it is the words of the ancient kahunas, the prophecy of the Hopi, the Sioux, the Lakota, the Mayan elders, the various beliefs of indigenous tribes, the Vedic concepts passed down from the Upanishads, or the secrets held within agnosticism, Sufism, and the Kabbalah, all ancient sources containing some of the most wisdom-filled of knowledge and of source. And they contain some of the most intriguing and following themes. The divine feminine returns to balance within us and to therefore heal our civilization without, as the mother goddess energy shifts us out of our heads and into a heart-based consciousness. Other forms and themes which resonates from all of these ancient traditions are that from the masculine energy of things, we shall derive the newest of feminine energies, which will take us up into form and into higher awareness, which is happening right now as we speak. Furthermore, from what we know from all other cross-passing philosophies and understandings of parallel nature, Christ within himself returns as an all-pervading sense of a feminine consciousness, and not necessarily as a human being, per se, in human form and in physical stature. And within this newly built consciousness, which is the newly built age of planet Earth and the age of Aquarius, Christ consciousness, or Christ within himself, comes in the form of a new awareness as a consciousness that lives and grows and is newly born in humanity. And within this newly built consciousness comes an increase in the vibration of love and of light to all of sentient beings within the cosmos. And so thus, the perception of things is brought to a heightened level, and that the return of Christ does not come back into human form, but into many human forms, into a Christ consciousness instead, into the many, into the masses, into humanity. The return to unity consciousness is another thing which brings an end to the paradigm of duality and of separation, to where the elusive and self-creative forces of negative energy and of fear are dissolved by the increased presence of love and light. Unity consciousness is simply the remembrance, that we all are part of the great Am, the I Am presence of things, the I Am nature, relating and derived from source. An eventual return to multidimensional awareness is at hand here, which contributes to this theory of things, to this philosophy of things, which then leads further into a science that is now becoming the awareness of consciousness of humanity, slowly trickling into our senses. An eventual return to multidimensional awareness, where it has been foretold that we once will again be able to see right into the higher realms of things. We will reawaken to the reality that our consciousness emanates from the hidden dimensions, and that we really are the spiritual beings that we're meant to be in human experience. We are now awakening to the idea that we are part of a transdimensional multiverse, which is feminine in nature and energetic form, which is much more compassionate, which is arising and growing from its duality form basis, its opposite form of the masculine. We will alter our vibration and our consciousness enough to remember once more of our greatest sense of being. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as mentioned from previous shows, we are talking here about the changing of energies as Mother Earth is transitioning itself into another great age from that of the Piscean and now into the Aquarian. As now the energies for which we have encompassed are taking us in transition from the masculine and into the feminine, from a world of the ego and into the one of unity consciousness, back in return, back once more to all of our hearts.
Hi, this is singer-songwriter Robin Avery. It's a privilege to be on BBS Radio. You've been listening to music from my new release, The Way You Hold Me. Come visit me and check out the CD at robinavery.com.
Hi, this is Christoph Goes on BBS Radio, where you can check tracks from my new album, Turning Inside, because if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Choose your time.
As what it may seem, as we as humanity begins to awaken in consciousness, our civilization seems to be out of balance. And it all starts within our God image. Our image of God. God known as the Creator, the field of intention, the universal super consciousness, the matrix of all matter, the divine intelligence. We have overlooked God's other half, by the way. The goddess energy of things, the healing and transformative power of Heavenly Mother. Our reductionist, hyper-rational thinking has trapped us into a limited awareness that our 3D reality is the sum total of all creation, that the hard, animate matter we see, sense, touch, and feel with our five senses is all that exists. Science is revealing, however, that matter does not arise from hard, animate building blocks or particles of anything solid at all. In fact, at the finest, most minute, measurable level of reality, we have found that the opposite is true. Atoms are 99.99% empty space. And recent theories of quantum physics describes a field of infinite possibility, of potentiality from which all of matter arises. This energy field has even been described as being responsive to the intentions of the observer whenever we have tried to analyze what is actually being observed. This implies that the underlying fabric of the universe could well be formed by an all-pervasive consciousness. Analyzing this idea further, it seems that the something of matter emanates from nothing, from this field, in itself. Quantum physical theory puts forth a mathematical analysis which implies that there is a something to that of the nothing. And from out of that nothing provides the possibilities for creation, the bettered conditions for manifestation, and that there are hidden dimensions beyond this one in itself that affect the formation and creation of our 3D reality. Now, this quantum superstring theory that we have been speaking of from the last 20 to 30 minutes of our time here within the show also assumes that there are 11 dimensional fields of reality in totality, and part of these of which exist beyond our three-dimensional world in shape and in form, beyond space and in time. Spiritual thought assumes that the human soul comes from and returns to higher dimensional realms of being, non-physical realms of being. Now, could these be the same as the hidden dimensions theorized by quantum physics? Now, regarding the formation of our 3D reality, the description of matter springing from an energy field brings to mind the idea of the aforementioned goddess form of being, the Adi Parashakti. Therefore, the scientifically described field of infinite possibilities is really the spiritual concept of the goddess herself, again, of the divine feminine energies of things. Once we realize the dual aspect of creational source energy, we can then connect to the God, goddess energies within ourselves in terms of polarity. Shiva, 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 male energy form, which emanates from Shakti. He can take no action without the vibrational essence of Shakti, as the Shakti in itself forces and sustains Shiva, the causative force of action and manifestation. The rhythm of life is the interplay between these two archetypal energies. Now, these gender states are necessary for our experiences of duality. But in our modern world, this balance has been disrupted, and for which our societies have become too left-brained of mindedness to being rational. Our female nature, which is expressed through the right brain, understands beingness, or the way things are in itself. It intuitively knows there is more to reality than we can experience within our five known senses. When our rational being is balanced with the reality of this feminine awareness of the non-corporeal hidden realms, we become more peaceful, more optimistic, and more hopeful, as we realize that a benevolent higher power can assist us here in the world of matter. Now, the first step in transitioning is to realize when we experience these challenges, these invariable and unwavering challenges that can meet us along the bend, that it's not all bad, nor is it at all nor good. It's more about just believing in good energy, meditating upon it and living upon it to the point where our vibration becomes so positive that good things just start flowing within the bulk of our lives. Now, in truth, the base level of reality is inert, and that we summon good energy with a vibration of love and of bad energy with a vibration of fear. Simply put, we possess free will, the power to doing so. We must also remember, however, that we have the power to just be. Beingness is a vibrational state that attracts or creates events and possibilities within our own environments. Our female mind, our feminine and divine of most energies, naturally seeks a universal interconnected experience, which yields us an awareness of oneness with each other and in all creation, which induces and encourages a sense of interconnectivity. And the divine feminine of forces, of internal, of interconnection, feeds the possibilities of love, the potentialities of light, creativity, ideas of inspiration, synchronicities, love, and sometimes even miracles into the physical worlds of being. Through the ethers of once more, potentiality, and the manifestations of the simplicity and the root force of alchemy. We need to remember that we can draw down the energies of divine love, the fabric of heaven, into our sacred heart and space, to transforming ourselves and in the world to a place of heightened being, of heightened vibration, of heightened frequency. Heaven returns to earth as soon as we allow for this to be, as soon as we embrace the divine love or quantum love of Heavenly Mother, of the divine feminine being, and in which we are finding within ourselves this reality of heightened nature. During his brief pontificate, Pope John Paul I made this innovative statement many, many years back, in which he had made mention, as I quote, "God is the Father, and even more so, He is the Mother." Now, this assertion was received with surprise in innumerable Catholic circles, and with undisguised joy among the more radical of progressivists. For example, Leonardo Boff, one of the primary exponents of liberation theology, took advantage of this rather revealing precedent by writing the book The Maternal Face of God. Now, this work defends a series of theological eccentricities, including the thesis that the Holy Spirit would be feminine. Boff is a follower of Carl Jung, disciple of Sigmund Freud. Now, it is unnecessary to show that this thesis is contrary to Catholic doctrine, since I do believe that mostly everyone within the Catholic Church is aware of this, including the Catholic Pope. Now, during a trip from Reykjavik to Helsinki of June 1989, Pope John Paul II, now, gave the following answer to one of the reporters on the plane, who interviewed him about the meaning of his apostolic letter, Mulieris Dignitatem. Now, as I quote, "I believe that the situation of women today perhaps can be defined as being the eternal feminine. And as I repeat, the eternal feminine, as Pope John Paul II emanates, I am seeking the eternal feminine. Everything that is accidental and animated by situations and circumstances cannot change the eternal, which is essential. In this respect, I express what I seek and desire in the document about the dignity of women." Now, the expression of eternal feminine, charged with strange connotations of indifference, the pontiff employed mainly to give greater emphasis to the role of women in present-day society. Therefore, the principal novelty resided in the blessing given to the expression eternal feminine on September 8th of 1999. The same Pope praised God as Mother, thus reaffirming indirectly the act of his predecessor. Yes, indeed, Pope John Paul I. So in fact, commenting on the prodigal son, John Paul II said, "The father who embraces his lost son is the definitive icon of God. The merciful father of the parable has within himself and all of the characteristics of motherhood, as well in parallel, in embracing the son as he shows the profile of a mother as well." Again, another reference to the divine feminine of things. Now, how about that? The Catholic Church has spoken. Now, in terms of remembering and in reference to the unveiling of truths in all spiritualities, to the hidden knowledge and wisdom that is bride, which holds the secrets to the divine feminine of things, it is important to realize where we have been. As per the words of Montague Keen, a significant contributor and researcher of the Ley Line Project, to the understanding of the Earth's consciousness grid. As I quote, the fiction that was once imposed onto you by popular religion, as opposed to the more ancient spiritualities of knowledge, is fear-based and controlling. It paints a picture of an afterlife that is totally untrue. They have taught you about a God of judgment and of punishment, a God who wants you to suffer in order to appease Him. Now ask the question, why do they always depict God and God within Himself as purely male in nature? This totally denies the female aspect of the God of love, for they fear the feminine, the powers that may be. So they have banished all references to the goddess form of nature, who were once revered and upheld with dignity because they represented the aspects of love. Love within itself is depicted as nothing more within the books, within the holy books, as mere sex, when in fact sex is an expression of love in its purest sense. Now they have set out to debase it and to debunk it through film and in television. They have systematically removed all of what was simply pure and good in nature. Love is rarely mentioned within our most prized of sacred texts, and significantly so within our textbooks. Now, Montague Keene merely implies from this statement that the controlling elite desires to blind us from the reality of the goddess, this universal of most universal love, and of the realization of our oneness, the most divine of feminine energies. Now we shall conclude within this final segment of the show with a meditation focused upon the energies and acquirement of the divine feminine nature of God from source, from within. Now inwardly, we must begin our meditation by sitting in a quieted and sacred most space. Mentally surround yourself, mentally do so with a zone of silence, as if you have drawn a veil between yourself and in within the world. Gradually begin to slow the rhythm of your breath. As you inhale, then exhale. Let your breath, the freedom of your breath, carry you deeper and deeper within. As the distractions of everyday life fall away, let your awareness drop down and soak into the inner chamber of your own beating heart. Next, imagine that you are finding yourself walking along a pathway that leads you further and further throughout, away from civilization and deep into the heart of a primeval and endearing forest. As you follow this trail, imagine that you are winding around and among the trees that are hundreds and of thousands of years old. Flowers carpet the ground and birds sing from amidst the wood. In the distance, you hear the muffled roar of the ocean waves, rising and falling about like music. And now your heartbeat, your breath, and the ocean waves keep chiming and timing throughout the infinity of space within the rhythm of Mother Gaia, of Mother Earth, within thy nature. Soon, the path you are on brings you to a tiny and crumbling stone sanctuary, a place so old and hidden it had been forgotten by the sands of time. Thickly covered with vines and gnarled branches, it is clear that no one has entered into this chapel in centuries within this sacred space. Now perhaps even thousands of years of lives and of times which have been forgotten, intuitively and inwardly, you sense that something mysterious yet deeply familiar lies within this ruin of a forgotten time, of a forgotten shrine, many years forgotten. Slowly, you push open the door and enter. And as you open this door, something old and timeless opens within the soul from amidst the veil. Once across the threshold, you find yourself immersed in an atmosphere that is sacred and holy. Vaulted ceilings arch over a rough stone altar at the very front of its edifice. Candles are burning. There is a smell of fragrant incense. And an altar standing from amidst a statue of the female deity, the goddess, which reflects the goddess and feminine energies within inside of you. Now her face is so old and dark with the centuries of time which have passed, the lines on her body so worn from the touch of praying hands that you cannot even tell what religion she belongs to. She is simply the mother, goddess as a woman, God as a woman, the one to whom the world turns in all its grief and in the suffering. She is Sophia, Kuan Yin, Mary, Sarah, Fatima, White Buffalo Woman, Isis, Sita, Inyanya, and Demeter. She is all the feminine faces of God, but she is more than that. She is the mother of life within itself. Kneeling before her in reverence, you bow your head in prayer. Immediately, you are embraced by her very being. And the cares and worries of the world have soon fallen away, soothed in her loving acceptance of all your human faults and frailties. Now entering even more deeply into your meditation, the statue you are praying before suddenly comes alive as a real being. And now you have yourself before the mystery of the living mother of all creation. As she comes to life, the chapel fills with a warmth and of a golden light. Now the face of the ancient mother becomes animated within your very feeling, your emotions, your being. Seated before her, you gaze into each other's eyes. She penetrates your soul with a glance that loves you to the core of your very being. Emotions of sweetness, mercy, and loving forgiveness emanates from within her, sweeping over you in waves of bliss, healing all the other parts which have been suffered and gone through the ends of time, within its hurt, broken and wounded, within its pain. Held within her arms, taken onto her lap, you become like a little child within its mother's brace, embraced within the likes of her love timeless throughout the space of time within itself. You touch her hair, her face, and loving affection, and feel her loving affection for you in return. Going more deeply into this experience, you begin to feel as if the body of the ancient mother is the gateway to the body of creation within itself. Going beyond her form, you enter into a communion within the body of the earth and all of her creatures, trees, oceans, rivers, mountain peaks, cities, and people. Going even beyond the earth, feel the body of the ancient mother expanding into time and into space, becoming the bodies of the stars and of the planets and the whirling galaxies that are spread over the universe like a mantle of bright jewelry. Held in the womb of this mystery, you feel a powerful force, a holy energy, and the breath of life, the soul of the cosmos. Feel your heart beat beating within its rhythm, within the rhythm of life within itself. Slowly begin to return to your awareness, to your body now, still seated before the ancient mother in prayer. Now thoughts in your mind have been cherished, nourishing life within the love of our mother. Now exhale, letting this energy flow out of you like a river, a stream of grace, watering your life and all of those you know and care for with a stream of blessings, happiness, and of well-being. Now close your meditation, bowing once more before the ancient mother. Rise and exit from her humble little sanctuary, closing the door behind you. As you make your way along the path to the life you left behind, remember that you carry within your heart a precious secret, faith within the goodness of life, the sweetness of life, the gift of love of the Divine Mother within our world, within our Mother Gaia, our love and heart and strength, and oneness and unity consciousness.
Every star has a voice, that the waves of love begin from within, that every child is a gift from heaven's gates, and all that is, and all that will ever be, and all that will ever be. All the power of love comes from within, and the suns come out and shine new life. It's the dawn of a new world today, and peace is the only weapon that will bring freedom. In our new world, there'll be no more war. For in our new world, there's only joy. It's the dawn of a new world today.
If you had missed this show or any other previous broadcast, you can visit the homepage of the BBS Radio Network, as all previous shows are archived continually at www.bbsradio.com. Again, that is www.bbsradio.com. And again, thank you for joining me here on the BBS Radio Network on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.